Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our live program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning in the studio. I appreciate you doing so. Pastor Williamson, I want to welcome you to the studio this morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you, Brother Blake, and as well as all of you listening today. Thank you for being on the broadcast with us.
We are doing something a little bit different, and I know I say that a lot, but because each program, in my mind, Pastor, is at least something different as we approach, sure. We talk to different people from around the world, pastors and attorney generals and a lot of different people, and I think that's probably one of the unique things about Wheat Among the Tares is the people that we talk to and the ministries that they represent or are involved in. I go back and I think of Alice and Kathy and the folks at the orphanage in Haiti.
Yeah.
And just that particular message or podcast alone and how it so enlightened us concerning the work there in Haiti. These things that most people would never even know about.
Sure.
And yet we bring it to light here with this program. And I'm very appreciative of it this morning. We, as I said a while ago, we're going to do something a little bit different. We often, pastors, you know, as is a custom here on Wheat Among the Tares, that we pray for those that we speak with.
Yes, sir.
And it's just some conviction in my own life recently that you and I have discussed, but just the matter of prayer alone, and I think how that it becomes just a word that we often overlook and often fail to see the importance,
yes, sir,
of prayer. And this thing kind of gendered, if you would, from a book I've been reading by George Mueller, and it's called Answers to Prayer. It's some excerpts from his diary through the years, and a gentleman took a lot of these excerpts, and he compiled them together in this book. And Pastor, you and I have both, I've got your copy of it. I know you haven't had a chance to read it all yet, but I know you've kind of spotted through it. But it has been certainly something that revolutionized me as far as just my approach to prayer.
Yes.
And in hoping that that is improved my prayer life, so to speak.
We need that.
Yes, we do. We need the practice for sure. Yeah. There's 5 points in this particular conversation this morning, and we're going to go through these points. And I want our folks, particularly our listeners, to pay attention to this because I really think that this would help us as far as helping to pray for those that we minister to here through the ministry of Wheat Among the Tares. And first of all, George Mueller, and we were talking before we went on the air, George Mueller actually started the orphanages in Bristol, England, for the purpose of letting people see that God, number one, Pastor, he's the living God, and he answers,
yes,
prayer. And I'm going to read just a quick excerpt from this, and then we'll start into this. But he says in the chapter one of this book, he says, "Sometimes I found children of God tried in mind by the prospect of old age, when they might be unable to work any longer and therefore were harassed by the fear of having to go into the poorhouse. If in such a case I pointed out to them how their Heavenly Father has always helped those who put their trust in Him, they might not, perhaps, always say that times have changed, but yet it was evident enough that God was not looked upon them as the living God. My spirit was oft-times bowed down by this, and I longed to set something before the children of God whereby they might see that He does not forsake, even in our day, those who rely upon Him."
Amen.
Pastor, this first one, point number one, entire dependence upon the merits and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only ground of any claims for blessing. That in it itself, he being our mediator. Give us a thought on that one first of all.
I have a thought from Ian Bounds. I think you mentioned him. Ian Bounds, one of the great writers on prayer that you can read behind. If you've never read any of his books, you need to. E.M. Bounds is his name. He made this statement. He said, prayer puts God in full force in the world. Prayer is God's settled and singular condition to move ahead his kingdom. Therefore, the believer that prays the most will do the most for God and his kingdom. When we understand our entire dependence upon God is the fact that there's things that will never happen and take place unless we pray. It's one of the conditions. God said, you pray. Through prayer, it moves the heart of God. Through prayer and us imploring God, praying according to his will. There's things, dear Christian, in your life that will never come to pass, in your ministry that will never come to pass, in your family or loved ones, blessings that will never come unless you pray. And it's the condition of God, prayer. That's why he says you have not because you ask not. See, that's a condition.
Yes.
And so prayer is without a doubt the very thing God uses to move his kingdom forth in this earth.
That's a great point. Something to consider because a lot of times we'll think that, well, it's going to happen regardless of what we do. And that is not the case. Yeah. You have not. Yeah. Because you ask not. So our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the mediator for us. Yeah. And through him and our imploring to him, things can happen.
Yes.
Number two, separation from all known sin. And these, by the way, let me catch everybody up here. These are 5 points that George Mueller gave to us as 5 conditions of prevailing prayer.
Yes.
5 points that he gave. And Pastor, nobody, as far as I know in my reading, and I read a lot just like you do, as far as probably the two men that we've mentioned here, George Mueller and E.M. Bounds, both these men who wrote a lot of things about prayer, probably are the men that to me are huge when it comes to the matters of encouraging the saints as far as prayer. So point number one again for me was entire dependence upon the merits and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, separation from all known sin. He writes, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us, for it would be sanctioning sin. Pastor, your point.
Yeah, Psalm 66:18
Yes.
Is the verse for that. If I regard iniquity in my heart. The word regard literally means to love, to esteem, to practice, to fix one's mind on as a matter of importance. And so when we are regarding iniquity, giving place to sin, iniquity is lawlessness. It's against God's law.
Yeah.
And so when we give place to iniquity in our hearts, and then yet we try to come to the Lord, not being clean in our heart, pure in our heart. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, the righteous, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That is not a verse written to lost people praying to God. It's believers. It's the children of God praying that we could pray and literally have the Lord's face against us. So if we regard iniquity, God will not regard our prayer. That's a sobering thought.
It is.
To just think, well, if I pray, you know, God's going to hear and God's going to listen.
Yeah.
But David, and that's why David said, but then he, if you read those following verses 19 and 20, I read them this morning, he said, but the Lord did hear me. You know, and the Lord answered. Because David's saying, I didn't have, my heart's clean. And if I regard that iniquity, and I think sometimes I thought of a statement. We must not view prayer as a duty that must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed. And if we're going to go to God and enjoy praying, then we can't come before him with condemnation in our heart. knowing we're not living right, knowing we're not doing right, knowing that we are giving besetting sins a place in our life and we're hanging on to it, we're loving it, we regard it as important, but yet we still try to come to God in that uncleanness, it hinders us in prayer.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about Israel and how that they needed to be a clean people. Mm. The priesthood, even of itself, and how they needed to wash. The priest needed to wash before they even entered the holy place.
Clean. Had to be clean.
And that has not changed with regard to God's people today. Mm. And I, you know, very well, a point very well taken because of the fact, and again, that George Mueller, who was a man, and Ian Bounds and others, but particularly understanding the need for our lives to be pure before the Lord, and that any unconfessed sin, again, would hinder us. It would separate us as far as our fellowship with Him. Number three, and this deals very closely with how we look at God as far as answering prayer. I'm going to read this to you. Point number three of these five conditions of prevailing prayer from George Mueller. And by the way, I would encourage you that are listening this morning, and we've got listeners from across the country here and other countries as well, I would encourage you to take a hold of some of these books, George Mueller, Ian Bounds, and others who have written concerning prayer, and let their testimony be of an encouragement to you. Because
it will encourage you.
It really will. It will encourage. Point number three, faith in God's word of promise as confirmed by His oath. Not to believe Him is to make Him, talking about God, both a liar and a perjurer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a perjurer is somebody who under
oath
swears that they're telling the truth.
Exactly.
So he says not only would we call God a liar if we don't believe His words of promise, but we would also accuse Him of saying, well, He swore, but He lied under oath.
Yes.
Two different things.
Exactly.
And yet, powerful accusations if we fail to believe Him.
Yes, sir. We know that's a condition of prayer, is faith. A condition of having our prayers answered is believing God.
Amen.
God honors faith, and faith honors God. So when we come, the Lord said over and over and over to His disciples about believing. You pray and believe, pray and believe. And James talked about that. Double-minded man. You know, is unstable in all his ways. Let not this man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. And he's dealing with that believing and that unbelief and not trusting God. So when we come to the Lord, we must believe what we're praying for. And we must ask Him in faith. There's a whole lot to be said about that faith. And one thing that we need to know when it's about the promises of God, in His word, God has given promises. God gave Abraham a promise. And what Abraham, Hebrews chapter 6, deals with the fact, knowing by two immutable things in which God that cannot lie, God promised, He swore, and knowing that you can trust the Lord for what He said. Now, there are conditional promises in the Bible. All promises are not just blatant, we're going to receive them. There's so many things that God will do if we meet the condition. Okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's important. That's important to understand for any child of God sitting out there. Well, the Bible just has all these promises for us. Well, a lot of them you're not going to get if you don't do what God said to get.
Yes.
And one of those things are that God will answer. We pray in faith. If we come, you have not because you ask not. You know, if you knock, the door shall be opened. If you seek, you shall find. That's still relevant for today. That was not just for the apostles. And so we've got to knock, and we've got to seek, and we've got to pray.
You mentioned during the course of what you were just saying there that you out of Hebrews 6, in which two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now, I know in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Number one, God can't lie.
Amen.
Why would He need to give an oath if He can't lie to start with?
Yeah.
That to me, God in his character went beyond, even though he cannot lie. Then he gave an oath on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
To say, hey, not only I can't lie, but I have promised under oath that I will do what I said I would do.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, and some of you listening right now, you may just, a light bulb may have just blinked on and said, you know what? I can really trust God because of that. Let me just quick digress to the reason why we're talking about prayer this morning, because, again, we ask you that are so faithful to listen and those that listen to the podcast subsequently, a lot of times we ask you to pray for those that are, you know, missionaries, pastors, ministries, and a lot of times we encourage prayer concerning that. And sometimes I think, you know, even in my own life, Pastor, we make mention of these folks and it kind of gets out of mind and we forget and we say, well, did God really hear his concern that he does hear prayer if we're number one, if we're clean and before the Lord. But we need to be praying, number one, in belief that God is going to hear us and that what he promised, as he told Abraham, he was also able to perform. By the way, Sarah did have a boy.
Amen. Just what God said. Well, let me say this about prayer. So many times we see it only as a duty. We have to do this. God told us, I'm going to pray. There's no desire to pray. There's no yearning in our heart to pray. There's no longing to fellowship with God. And when we pray, it's like we might as well be talking to the wall over there. We're just doing some kind of religious exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no more than a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of understanding that we really are entering into the throne of grace. We really are imploring the true and living God that loves us and wants to fellowship with us and wants to hear us. He wants us to be, and he wants to do. He's such a good God. He wants to answer our prayers. It's not like he's sitting up there and hopefully you can pray 1,000 things and he may grant you one, you know, if you're good enough.
Amen.
This kind of concept. I mean, God wants to answer. He wants to show himself strong and mighty on our behalf if he can find a man whose heart is perfect toward him.
Amen.
And here's what's sad that convicts me in my own life. We want to, and thank God for George Mueller, thank God for Ian Bounds, great men who prayed that did great things. I mean, Elijah in the book of James, a fervent, earnest prayer. But we don't have to just talk about those guys. In our day, the same God is still there to move, and we can have his hand as relevant in our life as they did, but we must pray.
Amen. George Mueller in his book did say, and I remember reading a numerous times in here, he would say, dear reader, and he would stop.
Yeah.
And he said, do you think that I am any more special before the Lord than you are, dear reader? And then he would say, no, you can have, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you can have the same access to the throne of grace and hearing that the Lord answers prayer than he personally did.
Amen.
And how many times I have so rejoiced in the fact that God put this book in my hand that has been such a help. So number three again, faith in God's word of promise as confirmed by his oath. To believe him is to make him both a liar and a perjurer. Number four, asking in accordance with his will. Mr. Mueller writes, our motives must be godly. We must not seek any gift of God to consume it upon our lust. I think, Pastor, that's probably one of the areas that a lot of people stumble.
Yes, sir.
Because of the fact that we think that prayer is just a getting thing rather than a giving glory to the Lord. And I know that personally that you have dealt with some of those very things in the preaching here at Gethsemane, yes, but I know you have some comments about that as well.
Yes, sir. You know, two verses that go with this from what Mueller had given us is the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." That's asking wrongfully.
Yes.
"Ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." So much prayer is driven by covetousness. It's driven by selfish, carnal, fleshly desires. You know, the things that men pray about. And so much they're asking God for this thing that's going to make their life better, or this car, or this house, or this job, or this money. And those are things we need to pray for. But when they're driven by nothing but lust, that's what the reason that we're praying. He said that you ask and you receive not. You ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. He said you lust and you have not. And then he talked about because you ask not. Then he said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." So we can't be worldly, living worldly, being worldly, and then come to God with that attitude and pray and expect God to answer. He's not going to. And then he said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." See that faith, that confidence? Says that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. That's about as plain as you can get.
Very plain,
yeah,
indeed.
Amen.
I know there's one thing that, and I've read that verse many, many a time, and it's the thing of if we ask anything according to his will. Mm-hmm. Now, a number of verses come to my mind,
sure,
and in connection with praying for ministries around the world.
Exactly.
God's not willing that any should perish, but
exactly,
that all should come to be. He will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How many times has my wife come to me and said, you know, concerning those, even some family members, and saying, "Hey, look, God's not willing that any should perish."
Yes.
And others that we have prayed for. That is a prayer directly within the will of God, because it clearly states that in the scriptures. So again, that confidence in knowing that when we go before the Lord, that we can ask according to his will.
Sure.
And it says he hears us. There are a lot of other things as well.
Yeah.
Not just the matter of souls and them being saved, but other things as well. But knowing that we have a confidence,
yeah,
in him. Well,
I would say this too. Let's take this view, because we could say, well, this thing that's a burden on my heart, I'm praying for it. How do I know it's the will of God? And therefore, only if it's inside God's will, in that sense, will he hear. I believe that when he's also saying, if we ask anything according to his will is that I come before him with no iniquity regarded in my heart.
True.
Okay? So I don't come asking according to my lust. So when I come the right way, I am coming asking in accordance to God's will, how he wants me to come pray. So it's not always, do I have to find this thing that, you know, well, maybe it wasn't the will of God for that thing. So, you know, for, you know, this thing to happen that I've got such a burden for. And that's why I said, you know, we're going to get to that in a minute, our importunity.
Right.
That urgent, because the Bible tells us, come make our requests made known to God.
That was it.
I miss our requests. It's things that we need. It's our burdens, things going on. You know, sorrows, problems that we're dealing with. So I have to be sure that whenever I come, I'm not regarding iniquity in my heart.
Amen.
When I come, I'm asking in faith. You know, so that's asking according to his will, more than the concept of this thing is what I'm asking the literal will of God to take place.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think of several folks that we've talked to in the past, and Brother Adrian Hendricks, and over in Bangalore, India, and the needs right now in,
yeah,
his life and the ministry there. I think of Brother Lee Cadenhead down in Zimbabwe. And the things that are going on there. Many missionaries that we've talked to, and Pastor, you and I both know that there are needs daily in every one of these people's Amen. Lives, every one that has needs. And the encouragement from what we are talking about this morning is that not only from Wheat Among the Tares specifically, but not only from making you aware of these various ministries, but then being effectual in your prayers for Amen. Those that we talk to here. I think about Alan Wilson, our Attorney General, just from our program recently, and praying for him.
Yes.
And just the things that he faces daily as a part of the government here in South Carolina, and other folks, just praying for those in authority. We've said that so many yes. times here. Our final point here this morning as we approach the bottom of the hour here is, and you mentioned the word, point number five is importunity in supplication. Now that word, it's a word that's not known very well from the standpoint of our English language yeah, today. But he says here, there must be waiting on God and waiting for God yeah. as the husbandman has long patience to wait for the harvest. And that word importunity, you can define that for us.
Yes, importunity, the literal definition is it's a pressing, it's an urgent request. It is to ask for a thing urgently and persistently and shamelessly without being ashamed.
Right.
Yes. And so there's times that we are in situations that we're desperate to need God to move. Just an example just come to my mind. Just the other night, Brother Nick and Isabel, they're in Africa,
Ghana,
Africa. Yeah. Isabel just sent out to my wife, they're our missionaries out of our church, them and their three daughters, had sent out a prayer request to Jenna, please pray. Here is about 6 o'clock in the evening there, I guess close to midnight, something like that. Not sure exactly the exact time difference, but around that. They were broke down on the side of the road, over 2 hours from home, midnight, middle of the night, on the mission field, as dangerous as it could be. Their cars broke down, nobody to help, no way to get anybody there. And she said, please pray. So we just started praying. I mean, I'm into my urgently. I'm like, God, Nick and Isabel, I'm on the side of the road, 2 o'clock, you know, this time of the morning, please send them somebody. They're praying, other people are praying. Please send them somebody, and send them somebody who loves you, somebody that will help them. And sure enough, God sent them a brother in the Lord.
Bless
and
the Lord.
2.5 hours away from home, and he stays with them all through the whole process. They were safe. They got their car up and running and back on the road. Not sure what time they got home. But, man, that's importunity.
Yes.
You know, that, yeah. I mean, if I was on the side of the road with my wife and kids in Africa in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of nowhere, I'm promising you, I'm coming to the throne of God with some importunity, pressing and urgent request.
Yes.
And the Lord wants us to come that way.
Amen. Amen. A great example. Yeah. And an importunity, as you said, that pressing thing, that Luke chapter 11 and yeah. talks about the friend who comes and he has a need at midnight.
Exactly.
And his friend keeps beating on the door because he has a need.
Yes.
And he also came shamelessly because
yeah,
he had a need. And
hey, get up.
You know, and brother, that's it. I mean, there's times in our lives where we just need, as Brother Mueller said, yeah. to wait for God.
Amen.
And wait till the time that he appropriates, if you would,
sure.
An answer. And a lot of times when we pray, brother, we know that we want it right then and there.
Amen.
And that doesn't happen all
yes,
the time.
Exactly.
There are times when it does,
yep.
Such as exactly. that story that you just told, and that's just one of probably a million
so many,
situations
yeah.
like that. But for us to wait upon the Lord, mm-hmm. Pastor, to me, that's one of the most difficult aspects
it
of prayer.
Is.
And
it certainly is.
I know that a long time I know many of you may be praying for things that still hasn't come to fruition, and but I would encourage you at this moment to pray and to not fail when it comes to that. Pastor, any closing comments as far as this matter of prayer and hopefully encouraging our listeners concerning prayer?
Yes, sir. This may take me just a couple minutes, but I want to read something. The prayers of holy men appease the wrath of God. It can drive away temptation. It gains the ministry and service of angels. It revokes the decrees of God. Prayer heals the sick, obtains pardon and forgiveness. Prayer opens doors and removes obstacles. It parts the Red Sea and overcomes the enemy. It will arrest the sun in its course and stay the moon. It rules over the gods and the devils of hell. It shuts up the storehouse of rain and yet opens the barren womb. It shuts the mouth of lions and opens the windows of heaven. It quenches the violence of fire. It calms the tempest of the sea and the storm. It removes the clouds of despair and opens the doors of the prison cell. It saves a city from the judgment of God and rescues a sinner from the eternal judgment of hell. It has the power to raise the dead. It confronts the heart and comforts the heart of the hurting. It empowers the heart of God's preachers, and it has the power to fill His temple with His glory. Prayer pleases God and supplies all our needs. In our weakness, we must be strong, and bitterness is banished. We must pray. We must pray. Boy, prayer moves the heart of the one who moves the world.
It moves mountains for sure. It really does. I am very, very thankful for this conversation this morning, and I trust that it has been an encouragement to you concerning the matters of prayer. Pastor Steve Williamson, thank you for being with us in the studio this morning. And our hope is that you have been, I personally have been greatly encouraged.
I have as well.
Because of what we have talked about here this morning. Please share this ministry with others as you have listened this morning. I'm looking at people from around the world here this morning that are listening, and I trust that the things that we have said this morning again are encouragement and a blessing to you. Trust that the Lord would bless you today. May you pray unto the Lord, remember us here in prayer, and have a good day in the Lord.